sky so alive on waves. On the go? Take News Talk 580 CFRA Ottawa with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron.
308, welcome back. I'm Andrew Pinsent, in for Christy Cameron. Here on Ottawa Now on this February the 2nd, we're gearing up for one of the coldest days in the city's history. I guess one of the coldest February 3rds in the city's history. Tomorrow, we've got a new snow squall watch out, an extreme cold warning. Everything Ottawa winter can throw at us. Joining us to chat about that is Senior Climatologist with Environment Canada. He is David Phillips. David, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Andrew.
Oh, boy. Are you going to give me some good news here? How long are we going to be stuck in this kind of cold snap, I guess?
Yeah, you know, you have to take the bad news and then the good news. The bad news, of course, it's coming. We're seeing up in northern Ontario, we see wind chills of... I think I saw minus 49 and a low of minus 33. That compares to what I think in Ottawa, which I see is probably close to minus 1, and down in Toronto, plus 3. So, hey, it's coming. It's coming from the northwest and moving across the prairies and then into Ontario. And so certainly, when you think about it, the fact that this afternoon we could see a temperature that could be at freezing or just above in Ottawa, and then... you know, by tomorrow morning, we could have minus 30, which would be about 15 degrees colder than normal, but wind chills could be, you know, minus 43. So quite a brutal kind of change. And then we see a little bit, well, it's not going to warm up, but it's we may have, you know, tamer and softer wind chills, but then they'll get back into it Saturday or Friday night into Saturday morning. But here's the good news is that, you know, we could go from, in 30 hours, it's almost like, it's like a Chinook in a way. We go from temperatures that would be, say, minus 27, these are the honest temperatures, with wind chills of minus 40 and change. And by Sunday, we could be plus 1. And then Monday, the sun is out with a zero at the freezing mark. And those would be certainly 5 or 6 degrees warmer than you'd expect for that time of the year. So it's really not going to hang around. It's sort of going to arrive quickly and the depart quickly. And boy, but it's going to feel like it. I mean, it's been looking like winter in Ottawa. I mean, the amount of snow sitting on the ground is, I think, now closer to... let me look it up. I think about 60 some centimeters of snow, and that's come and gone. I mean, you've seen 53 before around Christmas, and then it disappeared at the beginning of January and back again. And so snowfall has been, in fact, it's been a record. You have to go back to 1890s to find a snowier December, January in Ottawa. So certainly the look of it is there, but what's absent is the feel of winter. It's just not been there. And we've seen very few temperatures that have been really cold, but now we're going to see that. But, you know, Andrew, it's a one-day or two-day wonder, and that's really not very prairie-like, which would be for 2 weeks rather than 2 days. So, and then the next week looks like a really balmy kind of day with some melting days during the day and freezing at night. Great for winter, Luke.
Yeah, some of our Western cousins have definitely been getting hit. Just on that point, you know, it feels like we have been spoiled a little bit when it comes to Ottawa weather. Is this is just kind of a typical deep freeze for this time of year here, no?
Well, it is. Now, I mean, I think, for example, you know, last year, if you look at the records, you had a temperature of minus 30.2 on January the 21st. So this temperature is not foreign. I mean, even tonight, when it gets down to minus 30, I mean, that's 15 degrees colder than it should be. I mean, it should be minus 15, not minus 30. And but the record would be minus 32.2. So, I mean, back in 1962. So I don't think any records are going to be set even for this day, and certainly not the coldest moment ever. But really, it has been so balmy. The entire winter has been that way, particularly January. And so that in some ways, though, Andrew, you're just not acclimatized to it.
Yeah.
I mean, we did get a couple of minus 20s the last couple of nights, the last day of January, the first day of February. So it's you know, it's not as if this is like a punch in the face. I mean, you've had some, but it's even going to get colder. And I think the winds are going to make it just really very dangerous. I mean, when, you know, wind chills can freeze exposed flesh in minutes, not not half hour or an hour. And then also with hypothermia, there's a higher risk of hypothermia with those kind of conditions. But really, in January, my gosh, we had temperatures that were almost 5 degrees warmer than normal. I think the number of days where temperatures have been like below minus 20, you had two of them the last couple of days. But prior to that, I mean, last year you had 20 of those suckers by this time. So I think we've been really, it's been rather an open and soft kind of a winter and a tame. Lots of snow to shovel in that, but not the cold to make it. And that's really its missing ingredient for winter, and you obviously see the ice growing. It's been shorter, or at least it's been slower coming. And but certainly, it looks like a winter wonderland now with the cold and freezing things up. But people who love winter recreation will really have a time of their life from this point on. I think that, and when we look at beyond that, Andrew, the first 2 weeks of February look milder than normal, and maybe the last 2 weeks are maybe not as balmy, but we certainly think that temperatures in February look like they would be what I would call near normal for February. So it's a short month, and then spring doesn't it come in March? So hey, we're on a uptake.
You mentioned, you know, we might not be used to this. It's more of a acclimatization thing. You know, and frostbite's the kind of big message right now because we aren't so used to this.
Yes.
Are expecting a little bit of snow. So even if you are, you know, going out to shovel snow, keep in mind that, you know, frostbite can onset very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it can sometimes, you just don't know it, that you're exposed to it. And you know, of course, we have to think of pets and your, some of your rural listeners have to think of farm animals. I mean, it's cold for you. It's also cold for pets. And so we have to be, be mindful of that. And there are certain people who are maybe more susceptible, you know, children, for example, and adult, older seniors whose circulation may not be as good. They're often people who suffer more under that extreme cold than people who are fit and athletic.
That's something to definitely keep in mind. David, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Andrew. Great. Bye-bye now.
David Phillips is Senior Climatologist at Environment Canada. And once again, just reminding people, even if you're out for a little bit, that exposed skin can freeze very quickly. This is a personal anecdote. The first time I ever got frostbite was actually the first winter I was here in Ottawa, growing up in, well, I guess a little closer to Toronto, but only a couple hours away from Ottawa. But it just did not get the deep cold that you get here, so I was not prepared for that and definitely got frostbite on my hands. The first winter I was here, and boy, does that hurt. So yeah, I mean, it feels like Dumb and Dumber telling you that story. It's cold outside, put gloves on. Deep thoughts from the radio guy, but it can sneak up on you quickly, even if you don't think that you know, you put your hands in your pocket, you think you're fine. As soon as they're exposed, it's not going well. Chris, you ever had frostbite?
No.
Thank God. Yeah, no, you're smart enough to put gloves on. I get it. Okay. No. I'm just kidding.
I had the helicopter parent, right? The mom who's always like, no, you're not leaving without, you know, a toque, gloves, scarf. And this was in the spring.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. That was July.
Well, that was July.
Yeah.
I was like, Mom,
a different kind
come
of house. Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And obviously, I mentioned I never got frostbite before until, you know, first year in Ottawa, which would be, you know, the first time not living at my parents' place. Go figure.
But it's a different kind of cold, right?
Like, it is.
I've got family from, my in-laws, they're from Timmins, and, you know, they say it's a different cold. When
it's
they're
the wind
here.
Chill, right?
Yeah.
That north wind is just fierce.
Well, they say it's the humidity here. It's just like that. Like the cold gets to the bone. Like they feel it in the bones, right?
And yeah.
It's true.
It is, yeah. A distinct difference. Like I'm totally used to Ontario winter, but just moving to Ottawa was always a different kind of kettle of beast. Oh, says I'm from Madoc. It's just as cold there. Campbellford or where you come from. Isn't balmy? Madoc would be just down 7 from... From number 7. No, Campbellford's not more balmy. I don't know what it is. The warmer temperatures, maybe Madoc. I don't know. You just get more snow, but Madoc's even a little bit colder. I don't know. I hope it's not as cold in Madoc today. 317.
Listen anytime, anywhere through your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Now, Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron continues on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
3:23, welcome back. This is Ottawa Now. I'm Andrew Pinson, in for Christy Cameron this afternoon. Just a text here says the LRT eastbound is stopped, something on the tracks, they say. I just wanted to put that out there. Also read an update from OC Transport Live about 20 minutes ago. It says Line 1, all service at Herdman, Lees, and U Ottawa at the eastbound platforms only due to a stopped train. Updates to follow. Staff is on site to assist. So something happening. Texter here says they've been told something's on the tracks, but we'll continue to follow that throughout the afternoon. Hopefully they can get back on service quickly, because we all know why. 3:23, just chatting more about the cold weather we're expecting. Marcel in Gatineau. Marcel, thank you very much for making me feel a lot smarter. But it says, I just want to say I'm 49 years old. I've been living in my own for over 30 years. My mom lives in Winnipeg. She still texts me on really cold mornings to remind me not to be an idiot and wear my toque and gloves. What are moms for, right? Then you get, the only other thing you're going to get is frostbite in your hands. That's the only other lesson that you're going to learn. But Charles says more humid air is heavier. Will flow into the valleys. Yes, it's more humid in Ottawa. Never below 30%. Just David Phillips chatting about why it is. That groundbreaking cold a little bit as well earlier on. Coming up later on this hour, Matt Scooby is going to join us. Well, maybe to chat about groundhogs, but more to chat about Confession Thursday. So for Confession Thursday today, I wanted to throw out, let's see. So it's foods that you hate that everyone else loves. Have I got that right, Danny?
Yes.
I think so. I wanted to make sure I was phrasing that right.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side.
So everyone else loves these foods,
but
you
hate them.
And when you tell people this, they're shocked.
And I threw this out on Twitter, and I've already got a few good reactions. So let us know. Text us 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. But this one in particular, Joe, is very brave.
Okay.
Says, poutine, start the deportation proceedings. Poutine.
Ooh.
You know, I was thinking about mine. Mine's popcorn. As I sit, there's a half-eaten popcorn thing right here in the studio.
Yeah.
But mine's popcorn. I've never liked it. It's been more like the texture type thing. And
I don't like popcorn either.
That's incredible, because very few people are on board with that. And as you know, there's a lot of strange reactions when you get
there. Yeah, I just, for me, when I eat popcorn, no matter how much butter or salt is on it, it just feels like I'm chewing on foam. And like I could just, you know, pick up a piece of foam and just start chewing on that, and it would still taste and...
Preach, Danny.
Yeah.
Preach. You're going to go for 35 popcorn. Minutes. It's your show now.
All right,
you
popcorn.
Got you got the message. You're on
Let's do this.
A couple more here on Twitter, which I thought was interesting. Stew. Someone here doesn't like stew.
Okay.
I don't know how popular it is, but, you know, it's definitely something to specifically not like. I think that's definitely strange.
Yeah,
I mean, like stew.
Is there a specific type of stew? Because there are different types of stews now.
Is there?
Yeah.
It was beef stew. That's what I always think about.
There's definitely different kinds. But
so this guy, he's not getting on board for any of them. That's Gail,
okay, so
by the way.
No
sorry,
stew.
She's not getting on board with any of them. Gail. Kareen says Kraft dinner.
I don't like Kraft dinner either.
A lot of people don't. And I kind of, like, I don't know. I kind of sympathize with that. It's just like, I would rather just make mac and cheese, right? Like regular macaroni.
Yeah.
Tastes a little less processed. I don't know.
A little less powdery.
Yeah. A little less powdered cheese.
I mean, I'm not one to talk. I'll eat processed
I'm
foods.
Just and I'm no culinary.
No.
I'm no culinary professional here, but
I'm a picky eater.
Powdered cheese
so
is kind of.
Chances are, if you bring it up on the board, I'll probably agree with you.
Oh, we got a couple here on the board already, actually. It says, I know a guy that hates pizza. Pizza, it says in all caps after.
Yeah.
WTF. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
That's something that you should, that's a red flag.
I don't want you to judge me about popcorn, but I'm going to judge you about pizza.
Yeah. I mean, I love pizza, but it hasn't agreed with me lately. So I make my own pizzas at home.
But generally, you do like pizza,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
And there's, you know, people like certain toppings or whatnot, but to just kind of outlaw pizza, I don't know. I'm concerned about your friend.
Yeah.
I need to stage an intervention here.
I would reevaluate.
I've got lots of pizza, pizza know-how and knowledge. Another one here says oysters.
Yeah.
I could see that. Absolutely. Chris is giving me a look as if I have shot in a kitten or I've shot a kitten. Chris, oysters?
No.
Not a fan?
No. Yeah. Like, don't like them.
Don't like them.
Yeah.
No. Not a fan.
They're slimy.
Yeah. It's definitely a texture thing.
Come on now.
No, it's true. I'm not. There's a lot of seafood that I'm not particularly into, but scallops. My first job was in like a butcher shop in a grocery store. And let's just say packing scallops on a Sunday morning when perhaps you've had too much to drink the night before is not a good way to endear yourself or introduce yourself to scallops. Because you will hate them forever.
Oh, boy.
You just wanted to vomit each time.
Wait, I have a question for this texter here.
Oh.
I don't eat beef. I don't like the taste or the texture. Does that include steak?
Ooh.
Because you get a good filet mignon.
Because a lot of people don't eat meat or beef because, right, it's just a dietary thing. They don't want to eat. They're a vegetarian or what have you, right?
But
this person says they don't like the texture.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard that. That's a good
one.
Interesting. Yeah, no. Is it the steak texture or is it like the ground beef texture?
Yeah.
I could see how ground beef would be a little strange if you're not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Another one here says olives.
Yeah.
The taste makes me gag instantly. That's from Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of olives either. Black or green, I do not discriminate. They all suck.
Yes.
And especially on pizza. What are you doing to pizza putting olives on?
Oh, don't
things?
Say that to my dad.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he loves
we're
olives.
We're doing it. We're going off the board on the text board today.
And he loves
all kinds of words.
Olives on pizza.
Kristen Canada says, any type of fish, seafood, or crustaceans? I just tell people I'm allergic. Oh, that's a good one. I'm allergic to popcorn.
Will that work? I'm allergic to styrofoam with butter on it.
It says, no steak, no ground beef, all of it. That was just a follow-up to there. Yeah, that's
interesting.
And last one here before the vaudeville news takes us off here, the vaudeville music. Here's two for you, turnip and parsnips. What's the point of sour or bitter vegetables? That's from Charles.
I only have turnips during meals like Thanksgiving or Christmas because my mom will make them and I'll mash them in with my potatoes.
I only use turnip as an insult.
Yeah.
329. Matt Scooby will join us to add to this conversation coming up later on at 350. Your thoughts, welcome. 580-580. You can also tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We'll be right back here on Ottawa Now.
You're listening to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
.337, just a few updates to pass along. There's apparently some issues with Ottawa's LRT issue here. LRT held for several minutes at Rideau before leaving and stopping in the tunnel before heading the rest of the way east towards Ottawa U. OC Transport right now saying all service at Herdman, Lees, and New Ottawa, the eastbound platforms is only due to a stopped train. So some LRT issues if you are there. We're hearing Parliament stations and Rideau stations are packed right now, but let us know what you're hearing and what you're seeing at 580-580. You can also tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We'll keep you updated on that situation throughout the rest of the afternoon here on News Talk 580 CFRA. Also following the news today, Ontario creating new interprofessional primary care teams. Health Minister Sylvia Jones announcing this morning, saying that this could include nurses, doctors, social workers, and others. It's a new health care plan the province released today. They say will help connect more people to care. Here's the health minister.
We are also investing $30 million to create 18 new interprofessional primary care teams to help bridge the gap in accessing primary care for the vulnerable, marginalized, and unattached patients.
Now, the government says it's also expanding existing family health organizations. Joining us to chat about this more access to care plan from the province is Doris Greenspun, CEO of the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario. Doris, good afternoon once again.
Good afternoon. So good to be back with you.
Yeah, always great to hear your thoughts on this. So when you hear, you know, the province is expanding access, trying to make these teams, making it easier for people to get care, what's your first reaction today?
Absolutely, let's move fast because there are many proposals sitting for long at the government's tables that are ready to set up these clinics. There are already 25 nurse practitioner-led clinics that were announced at RNO during Premier McGuinty. Those are all working very, very well. We want the current government to put 25 more, and let's do it now. Because the public is desperate, as you know, desperate for access to primary care. So we have presented proposals that are ready to go full community support in Peterborough, in Orillia, and in other communities. We need them to move ASAP because the nurse practitioners, the communities, the doctors, they're everybody wants to serve the public. Let's put the funding. It's not even big funding that is needed.
And, you know, as you mentioned, we'll see how, I guess, quick we move on this. But, you know, how important is that model? How much does this help people get access to care when you have so many different types of health practitioners working under the same roof, essentially?
Well, it works even better. Just picture if you have only one practitioner, that's what that practitioner knows, right? And that discipline, versus if you have multiple practitioners, you have better knowledge, better access, after-hour access, on-the-weekend access, etc. This is not new. It's long overdue that it needs to expand. And I predict that this is related also to next week's meeting, which I hope to be back with you, when the federal government meets with the jurisdictions. The federal government, under Prime Minister Chrétien, believe it or not, many, many years ago, and then Prime Minister Martin, really set the interdisciplinary teams going, and it made huge progress during the 10 years that funding was allocated to that. Unfortunately, Premier Harper canceled, people forget, but they canceled that program, and now hopefully Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know our Premier is ready to go with it, hopefully they can put money aside for interprofessional teams. But in any case, Premier Ford committed $30 million to it already. A clinic is roughly about $1.5 to $2 million max, with multiple professionals working, providing around-the-clock wrap care. So now is the time to move with that.
And you mentioned those meetings that are happening. So we've seen a lot of changes or proposed changes, as you mentioned, to the healthcare system over the last few weeks. I guess getting a good deal done from, you know, the provinces of the federal government, is that only going to, I guess, how important is that to kind of addressing some of these issues more quickly? Because as we've mentioned, some of these have been in the pipeline for years, if not decades.
Yeah, they have been for years or decades, but it's not only about the federal to provincial transfers, which absolutely need to increase, and they do need to have strings attached. And I believe that Premier Ford is ready for the strings attached, and I think Prime Minister Trudeau is ready for the increase in transfer payments. It's also the small politics between, you know, different professions, etc., and territoriality. I think we are way past that. Now is the time to move and serve Ontarians and serve Canadians, because there is no good, efficient, and effective and high-performing health system without strong primary care. And strong primary care always is interprofessional care, because one person cannot be 24/7, or one discipline cannot provide all the expertise. So it's time to move on. The other piece that today our Associate Deputy Minister mentioned, which was music to our ears, Associate Deputy Minister Dr. Karima Beji mentioned that RN prescribing is moving in Ontario. You need to know that again was announced back then by Premier Kathleen Wynne. It was announced by Minister Eric Hoskins. The College of Nurses of Ontario in 2019 said we are ready to move. It's music to our ears that finally now we will move, although I hope it will move from announcement to services to the public. Just picture this. If a resident in a nursing home that is confused because of urinary tract infection, which in older people sometimes gets them very confused, if the RN can do a dipstick, which is a very simple test, and if can diagnose that is a infection and needs a first-line antibiotic, that RN, we know already that we know how to do that. We study this. So now is the time to move. Just imagine those residents not needing to be transferred to a nursing home, to a hospital, to an emergency department, what that will do to their quality of life, and also to the emergency department that is not set up for that type of relatively simple event. Imagine in primary care, if you have the nurse practitioners that already prescribe, diagnose, and do primary care, and you have them with RNs that can prescribe, and you have them with, you know, attached with the pharmacies, and if need be a physician, if they provide care, just imagine overnight we can change the system and really free up the tremendous pressure that there is now in emergency departments that are the canary of the gold mine. They do everything, right? Everything.
And they have been doing everything. And, you know, we'll wait to see, I guess, what comes from the federal healthcare meetings. But the message I know is do something, get on the road and to do things that, you know, you've already recommended for. One of those I just wanted to pick up on, you know, pharmacists have recently been announced. So you mentioned that the registered nurses being allowed to prescribe on that basis is close. Do you feel like that's getting closer? I know you mentioned it had been proposed under the past Wynne government.
Well, I only can hope that this time that we have an ADM that is a nurse, Dr. Karima Beji, that will happen. I know Deputy Zan is on site. I hope the Premier and the Minister are on site. And at the end of the day, you know what? We all need to show up because it's about Ontarians. It's about Canadians. It's about the public. It's not about any of us specifically. It's about serving the public in the best way we can.
And we'll be watching closely. Doris, thanks so much for your time. Once again, I appreciate it.
Much pleasure and look forward to being back with you.
Doris Greenspan, the CEO of the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario, just weighing in on a new healthcare plan released by the Ford government today.
I'll have a confession to make too.
Really?
Listen.
Tell All Thursday on News Talk 580 CFRA.
352. We be vibing here on Ottawa Now.
Yeah.
I'm Andrew Pitson in for Christy Cameron this afternoon.
Just bouncing.
Yeah. It's a good day to be inside listening to music, that's for sure. CTV's Matt Scooby is here because it is Confession Thursday. That's what that music means. And I've already kind of thrown this out there a little bit on Twitter and on the text board here, Scooby. And it's foods that you love or foods that you hate, I should say, that everybody else loves. So, you know, you say you don't like something and people give you that weird look.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, weirdly enough, there's a bag of popcorn here. It's always been popcorn for me. Not a big fan. Go for it.
Pause.
Go for it. I deserve this.
Really?
Yeah.
Popcorn? I'm the same.
Yeah.
No, I don't like popcorn.
You don't like popcorn either?
No.
Thank God I've got an ally here because, boy, this could have been tough.
Wait, hold on. Do I sound really hollow? I feel like I'm like really far away or something, or is that just me?
I think it might just be your headphones.
It's just my headphones?
Yeah,
okay, never
good.
Mind.
You're
okay,
good.
Never mind. That is beyond...
Yeah.
It's a little flabbergasting to me. I know we're going to get to some of the text messages here.
I said be gentle when
But come on. Popcorn?
I wish I liked popcorn because it would be an easy snack.
What
but
don't you like about popcorn?
For me, it's
like, is it just the taste?
I got it from here, Danny.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I don't like the texture, and that's always been a thing ever since I was a kid type thing, so I'd always gravitate towards, you know, like more like chips, but I don't know, like nibs at the theater, if it's like that.
Love nibs.
I love the smell of like popcorn and butter at the theater, but I've never been a fan of actually eating it. So
that is
my confession.
I can't be too harsh because the things that I don't like mostly are texture too, but which I'll get to here in a second. But at the same time, it's popcorn.
Yeah. Right?
No,
I was just saying on the radio that it's like chewing on styrofoam with butter on it.
I don't want to start a war. I don't want to start a war
fine.
Here. Yeah. No, another one here was just because you said texture, but Jell-O. Somebody just texted Jell-O.
Yeah. I can see that.
Is that
sure.
What? Yeah.
I understand that. Like, if you don't
like
textures, and the textures are a thing, then it's like, then it's going to be, no thanks.
I guess, like, I'm a sweets guy when it comes to, like, you know, nibs and gummy bears.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like Jell-O is just an extension of that. It's just cold and great.
Yeah, but I love Jell-O also, so.
Other people, Kraft Dinner was a big one that, you know, people admitting that they didn't like. And then the big one online that I saw earlier was poutine.
Right.
And shawarma actually was another one from Sean there.
Shawarma has strong flavors though. Right?
Definitely.
Like, so if you have the palate of a toddler, then you're maybe not like, you know, shawarma may not be right up your alley. So
I feel like that's a personal attack.
We're just talking.
Right.
Garlic potatoes though, also violent breath.
What?
I love them.
Garlic mashed potatoes are fantastic.
Oh, no, garlic potatoes I was saying in terms of shawarma.
Oh yeah, okay.
Amazing! It's like the breath afterwards.
Oh, if you have garlic sauce, everyone around you has to have had shawarma, or it's not a pleasant scene.
I'm not. Oh. Yeah, they can deal with it.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. give it to us.
So yeah, give it to us.
My one that I hate the smell of. I hate when they're around. I can tell as soon as I am around them that they are there. Cucumber.
Cucumber.
So I hate. I just with a passion. Wow. I hate cucumber, and there's something
There's something genetic about this. My grandfather was the same. Because, interesting. So even if there's a bowl of them, and like my youngest brother would eat them just like whole, always, no problem. And so, but I don't like the smell. Mm. As soon as they're around, like if I get served a salad and I don't know what's in it, like what's in it, I can tell immediately that there's cucumber in it just by smelling them.
That's okay. A superpower.
It's like, it's strange. It's really, really strange, but I will not eat them. The one thing which is weird is because I do like tzatziki sauce. Like, so like, but like all the yogurt is in there and like, you know, a good tzatziki sauce when it's really, I don't taste the cucumber.
That'll help for
but,
sure.
But yeah, cucumber is like, it's been the weird one for me for a very long time.
And I guess it's not as weird for me because like even cucumbers, you know, I'm not going to pick them first. If they're in a salad, I'm going to choke them down, but they're like not my favorite.
No, if they're in a salad, I'm picking that out.
Oh, picking it out.
I'm picking it out saying, come on inside.
So I'm going to say something and then I'm going to follow it up with something else. I'm in the same boat as you. And now this is what I'm going to follow it up with. Listeners are probably asking, well, then what the heck do you eat if you just
don't? No popcorn, no cucumbers.
We haven't even gotten to the peanut butter thing yet.
Sorry.
Wait, you don't like peanut butter?
I don't like peanut
I did it to you.
No. Nope. Yeah.
That does it. There's right over the top. Yeah. What do you eat?
Exactly.
Danny,
yeah.
What do you
eat?
I'm a very picky eater. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Peanut butter, like
what's wrong
basic,
with peanut
right?
butter now?
I'm sorry to turn you don't this
like,
back on to you.
Wait, you don't like peanuts or you're allergic to peanuts?
Well, I asked if there was an allergy piece.
Right, if there's an allergy thing, I get it. But
so for the longest time, I didn't like peanuts. But then a few months ago, went to my allergist and tested that I'm allergic to tree nuts and hazelnut. So I should just staying away from all peanuts.
Probably your best bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's like inside ingredients or something kind of mixed in small amounts, then I'm fine. But I'm not going to,
Pure peanut butter.
Pure peanut butter.
Like a peanut butter sandwich or anything like that.
Oh my
God.
I'm not going to digest that. No.
Oh boy.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's a tough one.
I love peanut butter.
Just
and
wait
until
you hear my weird list of loves, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay, hold on. Okay,
what about your second one?
Other ones that I have are like melons. And so I don't like watermelon, don't like pineapple, don't like cantaloupe or like just like anything in the melon family I'm out on.
And is it taste or texture?
No, I love I love a pina colada and like love like watermelon flavored stuff. Like I don't love watermelon flavored stuff, but like pineapple flavored stuff I'm fine with. And like if it's like crushed up pineapple, like my wife's family, they make something called a dessert called pineapple squares, which is just like a graham cracker crust and Cool Whip and crushed pineapple. Totally good with it. Oh. But you get me to eat a slice or like a little thing of pineapple? No, I'm out. It's a texture thing. Those are mostly texture things, along with coconut as well.
So watermelon.
Coconut.
My dog will eat absolutely anything except I've tried to give him pineapple 3 or 4 times. He puts it in his mouth and immediately spits it out.
Oh.
It's like the biggest food like motivated dog, but even that he's like,
smart dog because our dog is like blueberries. Gus golden retriever, eats anything and everything in the house, but blueberries, can't be bothered.
Yeah.
Like, what?
This isn't good enough.
Of all things?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Watermelon at its peak is delicious, but when it's not, it's, no.
No, it's a little grainy, and it's just like a little, it kind of reminds me of cucumber too when you taste it, so it's like.
And just even on watermelon, like I like watermelon, but sometimes it just tastes like water, right?
Yeah.
The texture is kind of weird on that front, but I do like it in the summer. Someone says eggs as well.
Someone said pizza.
Pizza, yes, that's the one I wanted to get
like
to.
Pizza is what is that? What is that? How do you not like pizza?
Demon.
Danny, do you like pizza?
Of course I do.
Thank goodness.
I'm considering calling the hag, okay? I will let this person's friend talk to them first.
Yeah, exactly.
But
eggs,
eggs,
I understand. Eggs is like the texture thing. Like, you know, I totally get that and understand. But pizza? Who doesn't like pizza?
Yeah, there's something. I'm sorry.
Demon.
This is a no judgment area, but we're judging it. 3:59. Thanks, Matt. And thanks, Danny. Take a quick break for the news here. This is Ottawa Now. I'm Andrew Pitson, and for Christy Cameron, we'll be right back.